One of the most commonly asked questions in Christian circles is how to handle sin in the life of a fellow believer. When is it your place to say something? What qualifies as sin? And what is just a matter of personal taste or cultural background? How do you approach someone in a way that's genuinely helpful rather than just self-righteous? This week, Tommy and Doug practically and pastorally address these and related questions. This conversation will doubtless prove worth your time. Here is episode 97 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hi everyone, welcome to Imprint Out Loud. We have Doug with us today. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you.
Doug, we received a question from one of our listeners. And maybe it could be a sensitive situation. It's about sin and then maybe conscience. So when can we apply confronting someone about sin? Maybe let's start off with what is sin?
Okay.
Definition.
Yeah, so sin is 1 John 3:4. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is transgression. It's stepping over God's revealed boundaries. So sometimes the word trespasses can be a synonym for sin, iniquity, which speaks of crookedness, twistedness. So basically, sin is any violation of God's revealed truth.
Okay.
And that can be omission. You don't do it. I mean, you don't do what you're supposed to do. Or commission, you violate what God has said don't do.
Okay. So would you draw a line on it's only the law that God revealed, does it extend?
Yeah, I think the word law is a good word because if you're speaking of what God has revealed.
Okay.
And that is important because there's a danger of binding people's conscience with saying this is a sin, but God has not labeled it a sin. I think what God has not defined as a sin, we should be careful of calling us.
Okay. So if you want to draw lines there or boundaries, 10 commandments,
yes,
other laws that he revealed in his word or instructions, be baptized, go make disciples. Would you go that far?
Yeah, those are certainly commandments. So Jesus said to make disciples, you preach the gospel, you baptize people, and then you teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So clearly anything that God commands, whether it's particularly in the 10 commandments, or it flows from that, and it's another commandment is given by God, is to be a sin.
Yeah.
You don't do it.
Yeah. The reason why I'm asking this, I think a lot of people limit it to the 10 commandments.
Yeah.
But for instance, we discipline in our church for non-attendance. So Hebrews talking about do not neglect the gathering of the saints.
Right.
That's a command.
Right.
Yeah.
So in all the, I mean, there's 635 laws given but to the Jews. And pretty much 625 of those are simply an application of the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
So you could probably ground everything in some way in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
But practically speaking, we have all these other things that spell it out for us.
Okay.
It's too vague just to say love God. There needs to be, how do we know we're loving God? By obeying these specific things that he has told us to do or not doing what he's told us not to do.
Okay. And that's where the application part of going into the second question, then the conscience. How can I go to someone? For instance, my conscience allows me to watch a certain movie, listen to certain music. Yours do not. How do we deal with that?
Yeah.
Because some of the movies that I've seen or music that I've heard people listen to are quite shocking. I can almost point to a verse in saying, you should not listen to that music because it says, do not blaspheme, take the Lord's name in vain. But where do we go with that?
Yeah, so let me pick an easier one.
Okay.
Let's talk about alcohol. Okay, because some people are adamant that drinking alcohol, consuming it at all, is a sin.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does teach the dangers of alcohol. The Bible teaches it prohibits us from getting drunk, being controlled by alcohol.
Okay.
Let's say somebody particularly has come out of a background, they're a drunkard. And so, you know, they see somebody, a Christian, having a glass of wine, and they think that's a sin.
Mm.
They can't do that because the Bible doesn't say it's a sin.
Okay.
But I do think, and I'm not sure this is where your question's going, but if you're with a believer who struggles with that,
yeah,
and you order a glass of wine, I think you're sinning because you're not respecting the conscience of your brother.
Yeah.
You're perhaps putting a stumbling block in front of them.
Okay.
And Paul makes very clear in Romans 14 about that whole matter. Don't put a stumbling block in front of another. 1 Corinthians 8 to 10 deals with the same kind of theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have to be really careful about
that. Okay. Yeah, so in that case, it's not the drinking, but the making your brother stumble.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And Paul said he would do anything before he'd cause his brother to stumble.
Yeah.
Stumble.
Yeah.
Or he'd refuse anything rather than causing his brother to stumble.
Yeah.
It would be wrong for that brother who's a drunkard to try to, came out of drunkenness, to try to bind the conscience of somebody else, to say, you can't drink alcohol.
Okay.
The Bible doesn't say that.
Yeah.
So you need to be careful in all that. You need to respect one another.
Yeah.
But not bind someone's conscience and not cause somebody to sin against their conscience.
Mm,
both those things are important.
Mm. So it could work both ways then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I started off that it could be a sensitive situation where you're a drunkard, but you should also show grace to someone else that drinks in front of you and not be stumbled, but you've got a weaker conscience maybe.
Right.
Or, so it gets a bit blurry.
Right.
So how do we inform our consciences to be healthy, to show that grace both sides?
Yeah.
As you said, the drunkard or the
alcoholic,
the recovered alcoholic versus the brother that or sister that partake.
Yeah. So I think one thing is your conscience, the word conscience means literally, it's a compound word with knowledge.
Mm.
So you want to strengthen a conscience by giving it biblical knowledge.
Mm.
You want to give it truth because a conscience does need to be strengthened over time. So I think that we want to inform the conscience with truth. But when I was in Bible college, I remember one of our professors saying that he knew a lady who thought it was a sin to kill anything, including cockroaches. And her flat was infested with them because for her, it'd be a sin to kill those.
God's creation.
And we might just say, well, then offend your conscience.
Yeah.
Maybe a better thing is helping her and instructing her to realize that those things are, I'm sure there's a Bible verse for it, but that those things can spread disease.
Mm.
And if you're living in a flat, you're actually putting your neighbors at risk. That's not loving them.
Mm.
So I think you approach that not with a cold-hearted, here's a couple cans of doom. You rather instruct her conscience, help her to understand some things. That's an extreme example, but I think it does illustrate that knowledge is important.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe piggybacking on that. So let's say I have a problem with another brother drinking, or let's go difficult, the movies or the music, because there's swearing in there, there's blasphemy, there's even light pornography in the movie or the series that they're watching. How do I approach that? Because the immediate kickback will be, which I've had before, watching the series about the Vikings or whatever, and there's severe, I would say, pornography. Well, that was part of their culture. And I don't stumble about that.
Yeah.
How do we deal with that situation?
Yeah, so I think in those cases you want to say, okay, let's see what the Bible says about profanity.
Mm.
Let's see what the Bible says about blaspheming God's name and helping them to understand, is listening to this music, is that honoring God?
Mm.
So you want to instruct their conscience on that. You want to help them with that. And I think for the person who feels very strongly about that, they want to be careful they're not being condemning and judgmental towards somebody else because maybe they haven't thought that thing through.
Mm.
So I know of a well-known theologian. He wrote his first book when he was 13. The publisher said, wait till you're an old 17-year-old before we'll publish it. He was a brilliant theologian. He's now in his 50s. And I remember hearing him say that he used to study the book of Romans as a teenager listening to the Rolling Stones. Well, I doubt now in his 50s, he's probably listening to the Rolling Stones while he's studying the book of Romans because he's probably matured and realized there's a whole lot of stuff in those lyrics that would be in violation of what Romans the book of Romans is teaching him.
Yeah.
But I could appreciate the fact that he's over time, he would have matured and grown in that.
Yeah, like Paul tells Timothy, show your progress, right?
Yeah.
And then on that, just, and I'm asking, keep on asking you questions, but we want people to mature. We want to see them mature.
Yeah.
That might need us to be patient over time.
Right.
The helping them see their blind spot, because it's a blind spot. But sometimes it needs intervention right away.
Yeah.
In what category would you place that then? Where it's blatant sin, 1 Corinthians 5, sleep with your mother-in-law, whatever it is. I mean, that's just immediate.
So then you're going to confront somebody that I think that your behavior needs to change in this area. You have to be able to show them concretely from Scripture, this is why it must change, because God says this is sin. Because I care for you, I don't want you to sin. I think it's Matthew 18.
Yeah.
If you see your brother sin, which is, by the way, I think one reason for the witnesses, because you might actually be wrong. It may not be a sin.
Yeah.
You bring an accusation, you have two or three witnesses say, wait a minute, Tommy, that's actually not defined as a sin.
Yeah.
So it's helpful from both standpoints. It's also helpful if the guy is clearly in sin, the witnesses say, yeah, I want to substantiate this. This is clear. This is a sin, and you need to repent.
Yeah. So would you say another angle then, like you said, word informed, so you know your Bible, and then go to that person.
Yeah.
But then secondly is Matthew 18, and it's always interesting how I used to read it, is, oh, I'm bringing another witness to strengthen my case, which is not actually the fact. It's actually a mediator to actually adjudicate whether it is sin or
not. It's like a jury, right?
Yeah.
So here's the evidence that says, no, I can't stand with the prosecutor in this. Yeah. I must stand with the defense in this.
Yeah. So that's the second. So word informed, approach it patiently with the word, and or then the witness that you bring in. Third point that I heard you say is the way you approach it. So not condemning.
Spirit of meekness, Galatians 6:1.
Okay.
Because lest you also be tempted. So, yeah, I think the spirit is just as important as the scripture you're bringing.
Yeah. And that would probably apply to what we said with these two brothers, the recovered alcoholic and the drinker, where the one, the spirit is of grace, of, you know what, it's fine. I'm not going to get angry if you drink in front of me if you don't know my situation. Yeah. I'm not going to condemn you for that. I'm not going to let you make me stumble.
Right.
Or vice versa, and saying, if you know that it's the spirit of meekness of, hey, I'm not going to do this. And again, maybe it's a subtopic here, but again, how do you interact with a family member? Because church is family, right? How would you approach your spouse or your child or your father? Or it's in a spirit of meekness and respect,
right?
And I want to win you over. I've got a concern, because we are all family in the church, instead of just come down hard and say you must stop.
Yeah, so I do think that relationship is helpful with that. I need to listen to any Christian who comes to me with a genuine concern about my behavior. But it's easier to take it from somebody who has a track record of showing me that they care. So they've had encouragement along the way, not just coming to correct. Again, if that's all they do and they're right, I need to accept that. But it is far better to come from a relational perspective.
Maybe you're so sinful that they can only correct you.
Yeah.
But that's helpful to actually build on a relationship of building one another up. And maybe that's the provoking to good works. Provoking is not always a bad sense. It's also building up to say, hey, let's get holier.
Yeah. I remember, years ago, I haven't encountered this in a long time, but I used to encounter people that I called professional weaker brothers, you know, that everything was an offense to them. I'm offended by this. I'm offended by this. And it actually wasn't a sin, but it's just kind of, you know what, actually, you need to stop this. You need to stop being so easily offended. If it's a sin, that's one thing, but I don't like your music taste, or I don't like, you know, the way you dress, and not immodestly, but, you know, I think it's too flashy or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
just
deal with it.
Yeah, that's helpful. And I think it's always helpful in every situation to go back to the word, just to test your attitude, your tone, your reason why you go to this brother or sister according to the word, and not just, well, I feel like it, not go according to your feeling.
And it just might be a matter of taste. So, you know, I can remember years ago when rap started coming into some churches. And look, I'm 65 years old, so I've never really been into rap. But I remember hearing a guy do the Apostles' Creed in rap, and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And some people were very uncomfortable with that. But that's just a matter of taste.
Mm.
It's not right or wrong.
Yeah.
So I think we have to just say, you know what? Maybe that's not what I would want to do in church, but I don't have any biblical basis to say that's wrong. So I have to just live with that.
Yeah.
And not try to conform everybody to my taste.
Yeah. Yet, even though it's interesting that rap thing, but there were connotations to it. Like these rap artists looked and sound and did these things.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Then we claim it back like the rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. That's good. Any last thoughts to encourage people?
Yeah, I think just take holiness seriously. Take your brother and sister in Christ seriously. Help them. Be open yourself to be helped.
Mm.
But let's make sure that if we're going to call something sin, we have biblical grounds for that.
Sorry, maybe not the last thought. But so calling sin, sin is one thing. But also there is a bit of a gray area of it's not good for your soul. It might not be sin, but to listen to heavy metal all the time, it's not a sin, but if you're a depressive person, you keep on reading, watching, listening to these things, it's not good for your emotional state. Right.
So there's a lot of things that you wouldn't call sin, but they're not wise.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you just have to, it's not prudent to do certain things.
Yeah.
It's not going to help you. And so therefore, No, I know. I mean, I love the pop music from my era. The 60s and 70s was the best music ever. And I have a song list, they call it that, a playlist.
Playlist.
So I'm really out of my depth here. A playlist. And I love it. But I do know sometimes I just need to be careful. And no, I need to be listening to some Christian music because I need to keep my thoughts, they're being distracted.
Mm.
So it's again, it's just a wisdom thing. Mm. It's a prudence matter.
Mm.
So I think we need to keep that in mind, that being wise, this may not be wrong, but it's not the best.
Yeah.
And the good can be the enemy of the best.
Yeah. And I mean, that can go towards drinking. I mean, you might not get drunk, but to drink several drinks every night, it's not wise.
Right.
Right? Especially with our legal restrictions,
driving
and stuff. Spending money, it's not wrong to go on extravagant holidays or to spend on new cars or whatever it is, but is it wise? It's the best use of your resources.
Right.
Yeah. Eating, watching, listening, spending time with non-believers, unbelievers, it could be not good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a sin to eat cheese curls.
Oh, I would disagree with that.
But it's not wise for me at this stage in my life.
Yeah.
And so it can become a sin.
Mm.
It can become obsessive. Mm. It can become abusive, not taking care of my body.
Mm. Indulgence.
But, yeah, indulgence. So I think in all those things, you think you want to ask, okay, it may not be sinful. I can't find a Bible verse.
Mm.
But is it the wisest use of my taste bud?
Yeah. Yeah. That's helpful. That is very helpful. Doug, thank you so much. Appreciate your wisdom.
Pleasure.
We've got another episode coming up soon that we'll record. So looking forward to that. If you have any questions, send them in. And let Doug and I discuss those on your behalf. Until next time.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.